Denver Heroes. This is Stan Lee. I know you're at the Denver Comic Con, and I hope you're having a great time, even though I'm not there. But don't worry. Next year, I'll be there, and you'll have an even greater time. And that's a promise from your old generalissimo, Excelsior.
Welcome to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. Today is Thursday, May 23rd, 2013, and you're probably listening to this either tonight or tomorrow. So, what are you in for today? Well, let's see, we have an interview with, let me check my notes, David Vincent from Anime Land Wasabi 2013. We have a musical ration, then a newsity episode stuck in here a little bit, and then another musical ration. So there you go. That's what we're doing today. It's gonna be good. So stick around and let's get right down to it. Okay?
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at Anime Land Wasabi 2013 with
David Vincent.
So, David, who are you and what do you do?
Okay, well, again, my name is David Vincent, and I am a voice actor. I'm a professional voice actor based out of Los Angeles, California. Quick side note, I'm actually from Denver. I spent my teenage years in Arvada, went to Arvada High School, and graduated from CU Boulder before moving to New York City and then on to Los Angeles. But for those of you listening, I'm a voice actor, and some of you may know me from anime titles as well as video game titles. Some of my anime titles are, I've got Blue Exorcist coming out, and I play Arthur Auguste Angel. You may know me as from Code Geass, where I played Lee Shinke. In Durarara, I played Seiji Yagami. In a new anime that I have coming out is Fate Zero, where I am playing Archer slash Gilgamesh, and I also played Assassin in Fate Stay Night. However, the majority of people will know me from two animes. One is Vaughn from Gunsword, and the other is Grimmjow Jaggerjack from the hit series Bleach. Yes, Grimmjow Jaggerjack. And then, as far as video games, some of the more popular video games that I've done, I am Gene Kisaragi and Hakumen, both in the hit series Blaze Blue. And then, in Dead or Alive 5, I play the character Elliot. And in Halo 4, I was a Gruff Marine. Final Fantasy, I was Kais in the Crystal Bears. As well as Castlevania, I was Richter Belmont in Dracula X Chronicles. And then, let's see, if you're a Tekken fan, you would know me as Martial Law in the hit series Tekken. And then in Street Fighter 4, I play T-Hawk. And then, of course, Resident Evil Revelations, I do the voice for Raymond Vester. And then, last but not least, and there's plenty more, but I won't bore you guys with the long list, but I do Richard in Tales of Graces F.
Lots of, like, the Tales games are pretty great, too, and all that, yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty pretty widespread series.
So, why did you leave Colorado? Why did you leave Arvada and Boulder, that area there?
Well, you know, I love Colorado. I loved living here. I loved being here. But I knew for me that what I wanted to do for a living in my career, that I had to move elsewhere to pursue it. I got my degree in journalism from the University of Colorado at Boulder, and I just knew that I wanted to give comedy and stand-up and sketch comedy and theater and acting a shot. And so what I did is I moved to New York City after I graduated from college, and I did a lot of theater. I did a lot of stand-up. I did a lot of sketch comedy, and that's actually how I got my start in voice acting.
Hmm. Were you part of a sketch comedy group?
I was. I was part of a sketch comedy group. I was. We called ourselves back then the Latex Bagels.
Oh. So it's kind of like a, well, pastry.
Yeah,
sex.
Exactly.
Pastry sex.
pasty and pastry sex, yes.
Hmm. So, did you play any of the clubs or anything?
I did.
Just with the sketch group?
With the sketch group, I did. I did Caroline's Comedy Nation in Times Square. Mm-hmm. I did Catch a Rising Star. I did the Duplex. And actually, the club that I got my start in, I was at a little place in Times Square called Don't Tell Mama. Hmm. And I was doing a sketch there where I was making fun of TV commercials, so I was doing 100 different voices. And I had a gal come up to me after my show, and she says, that's really great. Do you have an agent? And I said, no, actually I don't. And she says, well, here's my card. You need to call me. And it turns out that she was a talent coordinator for a major Madison Avenue advertising firm. So she gave me a couple interviews with some voiceover agents, and one of the agents sent me out on my first voiceover audition for a radio commercial, which for Rolling Rock Beer. And the very first commercial I went on, I booked. So, and that's how I got my start in the world of voiceover.
Hmm. So, what did you do in Broadway?
I didn't do any on-Broadway shows. I did off-Broadway shows. I did a lot of theater. I did a ton of theater in New York. Just a number of different plays. I did Dracula, actually, where I met my one of my best friends, and you'll know him as his name is Michael Rosenbaum. He played Lex Luthor in the TV series Smallville. And he and I actually met doing Dracula on stage in New York, and we hit it off, became great friends, and he and I were actually roommates in New York for a number of years.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Like,
so
rooming with Lex.
Rooming with Lex, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did did a lot of theater in New York, a lot of sketch comedy, stand-up, and that's really kind of where I earned my chops is on stage.
So you went with a degree in journalism.
I did.
Why did you pursue journalism and not like another vocal art?
Philip, that's an awesome question, and I'll tell you exactly why I did that is because I had one shot at going to college, okay? My family... My sister and I are the first two that actually went to a four-year university and graduated. And there are a long list of circumstances that allowed us to finally have that opportunity. I knew I loved acting. I knew I loved performing. So for me, I had the opportunity to audition. The great thing about CU Boulder is that the theater department allowed people who weren't majors to audition for all the plays. So I decided to get my degree in something else at the same time while I was at school. I auditioned for everything in the theater department, and I did a ton of plays while I was there. So for me, it was really the best of both worlds.
So did you ever consider like doing newscasting or so? I did.
I actually did my internship. I had my emphasis in meteorology, and I did my internship with KUSA, Channel 9. And I did my internship with, he was the weatherman at the time, Mike Nelson, and I hope that I'm really not dating myself here.
Oh, that's okay.
But at any rate, I did it with Mike Nelson. He was just an amazing person to learn from, and the folks at KUSA were outstanding. It was a wonderful place to do my internship. I did, and I actually even had interest from a small station to have me come in and do... be a weekend weather anchor and then a reporter during the week. However, I knew that I was 22 years old, fresh out of college. I decided to move to New York instead. And if I decided I wanted to go with the route for journalism, I could, of course, always go back to that. So that was really my decision-making and thought process back then.
So what did you do to sustain yourself between jobs in New York? Because it's not exactly a cheap city at all.
No, it is not cheap at all. You know, I worked a lot of jobs, just the same way everybody does when you start out. I waited tables for a little bit, quickly discovered that I am, in fact, the world's worst waiter on planet Earth. I took all sorts of odd jobs. I did I sold emergency classes for CPR classes to corporations. I sold I set appointments for different businesses, telemarketing, those types of things. So I did just a lot of different types of jobs. I PA'd quite a bit, a production assistant on movies and TV shows. So really, I just took anything that I could to earn enough money to live and continue to pursue my career.
So I've noticed, like, looking at your resume, most of those are out of L.A., aren't they?
They are.
So
they are.
Did you end up moving from New York to L.A., or did you...
I did. I was in New York for 5 years, and then I actually had a job that brought me out to Los Angeles, but I wound up moving to Los Angeles. And, yeah, the majority of the stuff that I did in New York was really stage. I didn't get into television and film and things like that, and actually until I moved to Los Angeles is when that work started coming along. Although my first animation credit I did get in New York, and I don't know if you will recall the celebrity death matches on MTV.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Yeah, I did the voice of Puck from The Real World in San Francisco in the celebrity death match. So that was my first animated gig.
So you got to work a little bit with MTV and their animation.
Yeah, I did. So. I did. The claymation,
cool. Yeah.
Claymation was really cool.
Man, that's one of those where I wish they'd put it out on DVD, you know?
I know. You know, I'm sure it's somewhere online.
Somewhere.
You can find it, but yeah. But yeah, it's it was neat. Actually, as a matter of fact, I think it is online. It's probably on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Probably not completely legally though.
No.
So moving out to LA, did you work with the union?
Did I what?
Voice Actors Union over there?
Well, it's really. The unions are the same for voice acting and for acting on camera. I do acting on camera as well. I was just on The Mentalist playing Agent Germain. But the unions, there was two unions that directly affected us, and that was the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, which stands for the American Federation of Radio and TV Artists. Mm. And they recently just combined forces. But no, I've been a member of both of those unions long before I moved to L.A. When I started working in New York in voiceover, the majority of the stuff that I was doing was radio and TV commercials, and those are under those unions. So I've been union for quite a few many years, long before I actually moved to Los Angeles. And that's actually funny because I was just doing a panel, and of course, a lot of the folks will know me from the animation and the video game work that I do. But I was telling them, I'm like, you know, you've probably heard me 100 times, but you just don't realize it's me because I'm the guy going, Kmart, lowest sale prices every time. And they just don't realize it. So,
So going back to some of your radio work and such, mm-hmm. do you prefer, and also your on-camera work, mm-hmm. do you prefer on-camera work or off-camera work?
I like them both. I like them both equally. It's fun to do on-camera work. It's a different ball of wax than voice acting. Because obviously you're on screen and everything that you're doing is there. When you're acting, you're open to being scrutinized. Yeah, you know, people are saying I either believe you or I don't believe you when you're acting. And you're doing a performance, you're either believable or you're not. So when you're acting on camera, you got to be completely believable. Same goes with physically. Okay. And now same goes with voice acting. You still have to be believable. But at the same time, in order to reach a certain level of performance, you know, I can kind of bounce around in the booth and not really worry about what I look like as much because I'm not being seen on camera. It's the animation or whatnot that's being seen on camera.
I
find them both equally enjoyable.
I would imagine the freedom of movement in that would actually help quite a bit with video games, because a lot of other voice actors we've talked to who do video games, pretty much it's all screaming, isn't it?
A lot of it is. Oh. A lot of it is screaming, but you know what else a lot of it is it's voice acting, but it's reacting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's you know, what does it sound like when you get punched? What does it sound like when you get punched in the solar plexus? What does it sound like when you get kicked in the face? What does it sound like when you get electrocuted?
When the zombie eats you.
Exactly. You know,
that's not a spoiler. Don't worry.
Not a spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a scene that I did in Resident Evil Damnation, the movie, the 3D movie. And, well, you just mentioned spoilers. I don't want to spoil it, but I just voiced for a character who gets attacked by one of the bad guys. And it was really intense scene because how do you voice what this sounds like to have some monster shoved down your throat?
Oh,
and you have to come up with that vocalization for it and make it real, you know, so...
It's like, yeah, I bought all those, too. Because, like, the animated Resident Evil stuff is pretty great.
It is, especially in my opinion, and not just because I'm in it, but the last one that came out, the animation was... We did all the facial capture as well, and it was animated in English, as opposed to Japanese, where the mouth flap was really off. This was animated in English, and so the mouth flap matches... is much stronger with this go-round, so... And the animation is just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. So, especially, like, with the little East European locales that they put for that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good, yeah. Absolutely.
So, going back to, you've been to New York, from Colorado to New York to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
How does that affect your time or communication with your family?
It affects it greatly. My family actually have all since moved from Colorado. My mother lives now in Missouri. One of my brother lives in Missouri. Actually, both of my brothers live in Missouri. My sister lives in Austin, Texas. And then all my other relatives, they're really all over the country. So it does. It affects it greatly. We don't get to see each other as much as I would like to. You know, but that's the career that I chose, that I have to live in the city that I live in to do what I love to do. We have actually made it a point now that every summer, in the month of July, we have got a huge family reunion, not just my immediate family, but also cousins, aunts, uncles, and we get together at least once a year. So that sustains me, and then also we have tried to see each other over the holidays as well. So it's just really buying more plane tickets is pretty much
it.
It's just buying more plane tickets.
It just gets more expensive.
Yeah, and that's it. But we still see each other quite a bit.
So, going back to, how would you say that your career has affected your personal life? I would imagine that with all that stuff being, you know, being busy and all that, it kind of takes a little away from being able to socialize or make a lot of different friends in those. Would you say that?
You know, I mean, that's kind of par for the course. A lot of my friends are in the industry, so we're all working, and we're all, you know, not all of us, but many of us do travel. And that's just part of being in this business. I don't really think it's affected my personal relationships at least not negatively. As a matter of fact, actually, I think it's been kind of a positive. Getting to go to different places to work on. I got to go to China to work on a video game, Infinite Undiscovery, where I played Edward. I got to go to China, and I never in a million years would have gone to China. My wife flew out after I finished the game, and we made a trip out of it and got to go see the Great Wall and all sorts of neat things. So I think rather than a negative, it's been more of a positive influence.
And you got to fly your spouse out with you. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was trying to see, we weren't sure if you were... we're married or not, and we're trying to see how that would affect, your home family life.
Sure.
Because sometimes you get people who they end up going all over the place for cons and stuff,
uh-huh.
And they leave their family behind, and sometimes that can be a really big chore.
Yeah, sometimes she travels with me. It just depends on her schedule. She's got her own career, and she's busy as well, so it depends on her schedule, but absolutely, she travels not as much as I do, but she does travel occasionally with her work, and I will both try to go with each other to wherever we're traveling to for work, you know, just to make small trips out of it and enjoy ourselves. So it works positively.
So going back to all the traveling,
mm-hmm.
What do you think so far of this convention?
I love it. This is honestly, number one, Denver is obviously going to hold a very special place in my heart. But this is what I tell people is honestly, this coming to anime cons is... And gaming cons, the conventions to me is icing on the cake for what I do. Because while I enjoy thoroughly the work that I do, when you do it, you're in the booth, you finish up, and you know, you're stuck in traffic, and you're paying bills, and you're back to the real world. What is amazing to me is getting to come to cons and meet fans and attendees who are entertained by what you do. And they enjoy it, and they're entertained by it. And then and you were able to share that with them, that they enjoyed this, that, that the work that you did on a project. That to me is a thrill, and that to me is what really is just the icing on the cake, the cherry on top of doing the work that I do, is getting to come and actually meet people who are, enjoy it and who are entertained by it.
Hmm. Now, going back to L.A., mm-hmm. and about Colorado, when you're in L.A., what do you miss the most about Colorado?
Weather. I miss, honestly, the mountains. I mean, I just look out my hotel window, and I'm like, my God, I miss that.
It's so great.
How beautiful it is. And, you know, and living in Boulder while I was at school there, looking out at the Flatirons every day, I miss just the Colorado, the clean air, the beautiful mountains. I've got friends that still live here. I miss them. And you know what I miss is I miss the weather. Outside right now, there's still snow on the ground. And granted, when I lived here and I got sick of the winter and around February, March, I was like, oh, I just want some warm weather again. Then of course the grass is always greener. Sure love to, you know, be in 80 degree weather. The great thing about Los Angeles is the weather, but sometimes, you know, 80 degrees every day, it's nice to have a change up. It's nice to have cool weather.
Any food or restaurants you miss?
Bojo's.
Bojo's?
Bojo's Pizza. Oh. Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? That's the best pizza out there. Mm. Go out and get the honey on the crust.
We haven't been there yet, but... We haven't yet. Mellow Mushroom does the honey on the crust.
You have no idea what you're missing.
Oh, you so just, where is this one located?
Well, I don't know. I haven't lived in Colorado in 15, 16 years now, so... Yeah, there's one in Denver, there's one in Idaho Springs, I know that, if they're still there. I don't know if they're still there. I'm pretty sure they are. I don't think they would have gone out of business. Yeah. They're super popular.
They're still around.
Go to Bojo's. Trust me, you'll thank me for it. Okay. It's good stuff.
How would you compare the pizza here at Bojo's compared to, like, say, New York pizza and stuff?
It's just a totally different type of pizza.
Which is better?
Well, Bojo's is awesome because, I mean, you're going to be full after one piece. You know, it's so thick, and you got this huge thick crust, and you pour the honey on the crust, and it's just amazing. New York pizza, automatically, you got to start talking like a New Yorker. And, you know, you got to go get a slice of Ray's. Ray's pizza is good, you know? No, I'm kidding. But it's amazing. I mean, New York pizza, you can't go wrong. And there's a pizza joint on every single corner, and you go and you get a slice, you know, for $1.50 or whatever. So it's great. I mean, I lived off of pizza when I lived in Manhattan.
So, going back to conventions, how many conventions have you attended this year?
This year, I've got a number of them lined up, but this is my first of 2013. So I'm here, and then I'll be in one in Wisconsin in a couple weeks. And then I've got... it's KitsuneCon.
Hmm.
And then I've got one in Orlando, and I've got another one in South Padre. And I'm working with them right now, but there's one in Limerick, Ireland, that they're looking on. Ooh. They'd like me to come out.
For your wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
Ireland's pretty pretty.
Ireland's amazing. Actually, we were just there in September. We were in London, actually, for a wedding. And then we've got friends in Berlin. And then we went and took a trip to Ireland just because I had never been to Ireland. My wife had never been to Ireland. We both wanted to go, so we went and loved it.
Good weather?
Amazing weather. We were there in September, so it was crystal clear every single day. No rain. We went to this place called the Cliffs of Moher on the West Coast.
Ooh.
Crystal clear, not a cloud in the sky. And it was phenomenal. And the people there are incredible.
My mom went, and that's the same month she went, September. And the only time it rained was when they were on the bus.
The only time it rained was when we were leaving. We were literally on the shuttle bus leaving for the airport, and it started to rain.
Ireland was crying
so if you
left.
If you ever go to Ireland, go in September.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, going back to... what do you think of the fans at these conventions, the energy they have?
I love it. To me, probably one of my favorite parts about coming to the cons is the cosplay. I love to look at the energy and the effort and the creativity that they put into the cosplay. That's just a talent that I don't have, and so I really admire it. For me, it's just such a thrill to get to meet people who actually enjoy what you do, mm-hmm. you know, and who are entertained by what you do. And it's... you know, it's just, it's awesome. It's an awesome feeling to get to talk to somebody who actually enjoys what you do, and, you know, you go home and you're paying bills or whatever, and you're tired from the day and your regular life, but you get to come for a weekend and come to a con, and it's a thrill. It's a real thrill. I love getting to meet fans and getting to meet the attendees here.
So, aside from, like, voice acting and journalism, what are your other talents, the hidden talents that you keep hidden from the world? Expose them now.
Expose the what?
Did you play the oboe or anything?
No, I don't play the oboe.
You have the keeper?
No, but you know what I do have is my wife and I just bought a house in a place called Woodland Hills, part of L.A., and we keep chickens.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're now we've got two we've had for the last year, and we're getting two more in a couple weeks. But I don't know. I mean, I that's just fun stuff. But the other stuff that I do is I produce. I like producing, I like directing, I teach voice acting, which I'm quite fond of. I really enjoy teaching. I teach a 6-week course at an acting school in Los Angeles, and I'm actually looking to expand now to teaching online courses, and I'm working with a few other companies to see about going local and teaching like weekend voice acting seminars. Because here's the thing, is the wonderful thing about technology today, 15 years ago when I first got started in this, you had to live in LA or New York or Chicago. Now you don't. Not necessarily with anime and video game work, you do pretty much still have to live in those spaces, but if you live in Denver and you want to get into voiceover, you can do it. You can do it from Denver. You can, what I want to do is weekend seminars in places like Denver, in places like, Lincoln, Nebraska, or whatnot, where I can help you set up, teach you how to set up a home studio, teach you how to go over a voice acting courses of how to properly voice act for advertising, and submit your voice and start voice acting in local radio commercials, sometimes even regional, sometimes national. They cast out of different places other than LA, New York, and Chicago now. So that's something that I'm looking into as well.
So, if someone's doing that from home, what type of microphone would you recommend for that?
I'll tell you, there are a number of different USB microphones. The one that I use is called the Blue Snowball. It's a very common microphone, and it really comes with how you set it up at your home. And what I've done is I've built out one of my closets in my office into my own little sound booth, which is what I will get into in teaching this course.
Excellent.
But what you do is, if you're on a PC, you use a free downloaded software called Audacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use this in SoundForge for editing.
And SoundForge for editing. Yeah. And for me, I'm on a Mac, and so I use GarageBand.
Oh, yes. And, that's a good one.
Yeah. And it's really not as complicated. It certainly is not as expensive as it used to be to set up your own home studio. And you can get broadcast quality sound. And start submitting, and there are different sources and venues that you can find to submit your auditions to do local, regional, or sometimes even national radio or TV spots. And then the same goes with online video narration, online video narration. There's so much more opportunity available in the voiceover industry today than even 5 years ago. So that's a course that I'm very interested in, and I am pursuing to begin teaching and to help people learn how to start, set up their own home studio and to start pushing their voice acting into, maybe from a hobby, taking it to actually making some money at it.
Like, they could also try practicing with, like, say, LibriVox.org, where you can read stuff that's public domain, mm-hmm. and do audiobooks for those.
Sure.
They're a kind of a crowdsourced thing. Yeah. Have you done any audiobooks?
I have. I have done a couple of audiobooks, and as a matter of fact, I've got a couple more that I'm going to be working on.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, going back again to the lessons and so, do you already have like a website or something? Anything you want to pitch or?
Philip, I wish that I'm actually developing my website now. I'm having it developed, I should say. But in the meantime, if you want to get in contact with me, if you want to follow what I'm doing, any releases that I can talk about, of course, a lot of times we're under NDAs.
Yeah.
But any releases, yes, non-disclosures. But if you want to follow me, if you want to follow what's going on, any new releases that I can talk about that I will announce, please follow me on Facebook. And then I will let you know as soon as my website's up where the website address, etc. But you can follow me on Facebook. Shoot me a friend request at facebook.com/DavidVincent, VA for voice actor. So David Vincent, VA. Facebook.com/DavidVincentVA. And I will shoot you or accept a friend request, and you can start following me, and I'll keep you guys up to date on what's happening with me and the different things that I'm doing and am involved with, including online and local voiceover acting courses.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Now, this is a question we ask a lot. If you've noticed, like, a lot of the energy that you see here at the convention, you see a lot of people who are bustling and hustling with energy at the convention, just everywhere, social butterflies.
Yes.
But when they get out of the convention to their normal lives, to their school or
sure.
their job or so, they tend to clam up and to go into themselves and become more introverted.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give them to take that energy from the convention and then apply it to their normal life, to their everyday life, to become a little bit more extroverted?
You know, that's a really good point. And a lot of that, Philip, will also just come with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the attendees are younger. But if somebody is having trouble being introverted outside of the con, but they come to a con, the wonderful thing about cons is everybody shares a similar interest. And what most people don't realize is that we all feel like insecure, you know, like that's just natural human instinct is our inside voice in our head says you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, etc. What advice I would give them is just take that energy, take the joy that you get with your peers here at the con and apply it in your life, and who cares what anybody else thinks? Because you're who you are, you know? You're who you are. And a lot of times, especially, and I'm going off on a tangent.
Oh, that's fine.
But people, specifically, you know, the group of folks that are still in high school or even in college, is they really care what their peers think of them at school. You know what? High school is a very short period of time in your life. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. You are going to gravitate, when you put out the energy that you want to be, you're going to attract the people that are attracted to that energy, and you're going to be surrounding yourself with people that you want to be surrounded by. So for anybody who's struggling with being shy, introverted, a lack of self-confidence or whatnot outside of the con experience, I would say really make an effort to open yourself up to the possibility of bringing that energy to your everyday life. Because you will, it may take some time, but you will attract people who are interested in that type of energy, and you're going to surround yourself with people whom you love because they love your energy, and you're going to feed off of each other's energy.
Excellent. So before we go, anything else, like any current projects you've completed or so that people should definitely check out?
Yes, I do have one that I can talk about right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's an upcoming English dub release of Fate Zero, where I am playing Archer/Gilgamesh, and that anime is so beautifully animated. I did Assassin in Fate Stay Night, and for some reason they wanted to switch it up. It's funny, when I auditioned for it, I was sick, and I was like, there's no way I'm getting cast in this. Lo and behold, I wound up getting cast, but I am playing Archer/Gilgamesh, and I highly recommend seeing it. The animation is just gorgeous, and of course, it's just an amazing story. So I can definitely promote that one. Please, please go see it. Please, download it or watch it legally, please.
Yes. Buy it in stores.
Buy it in stores, or watch it online legally in Neon Alley or wherever, and. I believe, that's the only one that I can really talk about right now. I do have, of course, other stuff coming out, but I'm still under contract that I can't discuss it.
Well, thank you so very much for
the
interview.
Absolutely. You got it. My pleasure.
Yeah, this has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG, and I've been here at Anime Land Wasabi 2013 with
David Vincent.
And good night.
Deal. Hi, this is Vanessa Ortega, and you're listening to Radio DMG.
news! Good day, sir!
Thank you.
Welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you're listening to some fresh newsity. So, what happened in this weekend, or rather the last time that we talked? Nintendo announced that on June 11th at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, they will have a Nintendo Direct about the Wii U. Wii U's not a portable, but I thought you might want to know they might have some 3DS stuff for it too at that particular thing. That's also the start of E3. So, of course, you know, E3, stuff's going to be announced. That's some crazy stuff. Anyways, also that evening at, I think, 6 p.m.? Yeah, I think 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 11th of June. Same day as their previous Wii U thing, they're going to have an hour and a half long presentation and Q&A on Pokemon X and Y. And that's also at E3. So, yeah, that's the news from Nintendo. This weekend, they have Donkey Kong Country Returns coming out for the Nintendo 3DS. It's a port of the Wii game of the same name, but with some brand new 3D-ness and some brand new levels added to it. Nice. And, of course, no waggly motion controls. So, if you're one of those people who doesn't like waggly-swaggly, timey-wimey stuff, this is the one for you. You can take all that hot, sweaty monkey action from the Wii game and put it in your pocket. That's this Sunday. Okay, let's see. Sony didn't announce anything, really. Haven't announced anything other than that there will be some PlayStation Vita games at E3 that they expect will be exciting. So, we'll see. Now, the other thing. So tired. Bored. So bored. Wait, I know why I'm bored. Microsoft announced the Xbox One. Now, the Xbox One is their brand new console out this year. Higgledy-biggledy specs. It requires you to have the Kinect on at all times for it to actually operate. It uses the cloud every 24 hours. It checks to make sure that all your DRM licenses are fine. They didn't show off any games really for it. They just showed off a Call of Duty game and some other game called Quantum Break that was like, oh, look, this is FMV. Yay, good. Overall, I'm just so bored of that. God. Anyways, the exciting thing was they had, now the trigger buttons have rumble features in them, so they'll fight you a little bit when you're pressing them, which is nice. And, the system itself is, when it's asleep, it's still transmitting. Essentially, it's a expensive box that won't play any of your old Xbox 360 games, or any of your old Xbox games. And it requires you to have an internet connection. Not always on, mind you, but at least once every 24 hours. And it's got a big bulky camera thing that either goes on top of your TV, crushing your hopes and dreams, or under your TV where it crushes and breaks and is probably expensive to replace. Anyways, it was just exhausting. I watched the whole thing. Right? The whole presentation. And they're just like, sports from EA. It's in the game. Oh, and, if you want to buy a used game for this, you're going to have to pay an additional fee. Let's say you let somebody borrow a game. Unless they sign in as you on your account, they also have to pay a fee. Because it's a privilege, according to Microsoft, to be able to play your games. They're like, you have our permission to play your games that you purchased on your system that you purchased. There's nothing nefarious about that at all. Ugh. The X-Bane is just, it's also a hideous box. It looks like a Laserdisc player. It has Blu-ray. That's a big thing, I guess. And, it's apparently powerful, But I was hoping they'd announce some kind of handheld. I really want to see what they would do with handhelds. But seeing what they do with their console, maybe it's a good thing that Microsoft never makes a handheld. I mean, knowing them, they'd have something like, this is a handheld where, if it doesn't read your fingerprints within at least once every 24 hours, it'll explode in your pocket or wherever you put it. So you have to make sure that you log in on Xbox Live, which you're still going to have to pay for, and then touch the screen of your handheld and caress it lovingly. Otherwise, it will destroy you. But yeah, I don't really see the appeal of the Xbox One. I mean, I really don't want an always-on camera with a microphone that can, by the way, do voice and facial recognition sitting in my living room at all times watching me do naughty things to the couch. On the couch. Not to the couch. Not to the couch. On the couch. Anyways, man, it's been a boring week. Except for a few things. We're gearing up for our Denver Comic Con coverage, and Denver Comic Con announced today that their lead guest, who they announced last year at the end of Denver Comic Con 2012, Stan Lee, will not be able to attend it. He has to film something, or they're saying he has to film something. I kind of suspect it might be health problems. I mean, the guy is 90, and he does a lot of these conventions, and if he can't make a convention, he can't make a convention. Which is kind of bad because they already sold a bunch of people tickets, and they're like, you know, it kind of sucks. But, you know what? They got William Shatner instead. You know, William Shatner, Kirk, James T. Kirk, and other stuff he was in. That guy. And that's cool. I didn't pay anything to go see Stan Lee or anything like that, so I'm kind of indifferent to this. But I look at it this way. You know what? William Shatner is cool too. I know there will be people who will be very disappointed that Stan Lee will not be able to make it to Comic-Con this year in Denver. But you know what? Things do happen. Especially since they plan this so far ahead in advance. Sometimes nature finds a way. Whether it's breeding raptors, or causing Stan Lee to not show up to Denver Comic-Con. Life finds a way. But hey, we're getting William Shatner. Come on. He's cool. Come on. He's cool. You know? And I'm sure they're working very, very hard on other stuff, too. And there's a lot of great guests there. I mean, Steve Wiebe will be there. You know, the guy from King of Kong. And so will Walter Day from Twin Galaxies. And a bunch of other people. Is it Walter Day? I don't remember. Walter something or other. There's Felicia Day. And Will Wheaton might show up. But yeah, that's the news. And we'll see you on the other side after some more Musical Rations. I'm your host, Philip Wesley. And see you later. And scene.
Thank you. This is a coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system by broadcast stations and cable systems in your area. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes the test of the emergency alert system.
dog for the night. I felt like taking a flight, but then I saw the green light, and you were at my gate. You were last playing Star Fox. I got your mystery box. Your Pokemon really rocked, and now you're at my gate. Your weapon gem is over 300, and you like my favorite band. Where'd you get the hat on your me? Hey, I straight passed you. This is crazy, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe it's hard to be your custom Grand Prix, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. Hey, I straight passed you. This is crazy, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. And all the other news try to ace me, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? I just straight passed you again. Puzzles, you had all of them. Completed Rhythm Heaven, and you're still at my gate. I straight passed you at the mall, and find me, you're me so tall. The monsters, you beat them all when you were at my gate. Your weapon gem is over 300, and you like my favorite band. Where'd you get that hat on your knee? Hey, I straight passed you. This is crazy, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe it's hard to be your custom Grand Prix, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. Hey, I straight passed you. This is crazy, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. And all the other moves try to ace me, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. Before I straight passed you, I spent my big one so much. I spent them so much. I spent them so, so much. Before I straight passed you, I spent my big one so much. And you should know such. I spent them so, so much. It's hard to beat your custom Grand Prix, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. Hey, I straight passed you. This is crazy, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. And all the other me's try to ace me, but here's my friend code. Do I know me? Maybe. Before I straight passed you, I spent my big one so much. I spent them so much. I spent them so, so much. Before I straight passed you, I spent my big one so much. No such. Don't know me, maybe.
Hi, I'm Sharmi Lee, and you're listening to Radio DMG.
No matter what I do, I'm player number two. I rescued you, you'd never be captured again. We could play golf or race our carts. I'd take a red shell to the heart. But Peach, are we just friends? We could float down, down, down with your umbrella. And in your castle each night, I tell ya. Dear Peach, wherever you go, I won't let you be in a world alone. Dear Peach, what will it take for you to stop repeating past mistakes? Dear Peach, in my dreams, I hold you close to me. Need 8 bits to know this is it. In a perfect world, we'd never split. Oh, Peach, I have no doubts. I'd never leave to do some shrooms. I'd find a gold star just for you, so no one can hurt you now. We each night, I tell ya. Dear Peach, wherever you go, I won't let you be in a world alone. Dear Peach, what will it take for you to stop repeating past mistakes? Dear Peach, in my dreams, I hold you close to me.
Princess, and I'll be a toad. I'll follow behind you on Rainbow Road. Protect you from red shells wherever we go, I promise. No one will touch us if we pick up a star. And if you spin out, you can ride in my cart. When we slide together, we generate sparks in our wheels and our hearts. And the finish line is just around the bend. I'll pause this game so our love will never end. Let's go again. The blue shell is coming, so I'll go ahead. If you hang behind, it will hit me instead. But never look back, cause I'm down but not dead. I'll catch up to you. Don't worry about Bowser or DK. Just eat this glowing mushroom and they'll all fade away. And the finish line is just around the bend. I'll pause this game so our love will never end. Oh, the finish line is just around the bend. Pause this game so our love will never end. Let's go again to the mushroom cup and the flower cup and the star cup and the reverse cup.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today's episode of Radio DMG. We'll see you again soon with more tantalizing tidbits and musical rations and sweet, sweet stuff. We will have some Denver Comic Con coverage. We'll also have our audio from SANA, the Summit on Anime in North America. If you read our article on SANA at the site, you know you've been wanting to hear what was said. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We got the hookup. Oh, we do. It's like you're in the audience with us. And, yeah, you get to sit next to me and I get to annoy you. Anyways, that's what we're doing next episode, which might be really soon. In fact, Memorial Day weekend's coming up, so we might even have a few episodes for you, our loyal listeners. So I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm going to sign out for today's Radio DMG. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, spay or neuter your fangirls and boys. And actually, that doesn't really sound like a good out thing, you know? I'd always be like, thank you, or something, or now you know the rest of the story. And I really need to think of something I can say at the end of these, because toodles or good night are Stay classy. All of those are kind of contrived, so I'll figure something out, ladies and gentlemen. So, see you later, and good night.